Pastor Jameson brings us God's message this morning from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
I'm glad for the privilege of speaking again today. I'm not happy because of why I have to do it, but the Lord knows what he's doing, and he's at work in our pastor's life, and we need to continue to pray. As I sat there this morning, like I do quite often, sitting in that front seat, before I get to preaching, I want to say something. It seems to me that what we've just got through practicing and what you're going to hear today, we are in the sanctuary. Those people in California got it all mixed up. This is the sanctuary. This is where God is. And this is a special place. Now, he's at home when I pray, too. I don't want to mislead you. But there ought to be, and I think there is, a special sense of the presence of God in our place of worship today. I trust that that is communicated to you by what we have heard and what we have sang together. The service started a half hour ago. It doesn't start now. It continues now. And I hope and I believe, for those of us who have been around for a while, you understand that. You are now able and ready, I think, to hear what God says from the Word, because you have worshiped with God from songs that have been picked out carefully. And I don't know how much you appreciate what you hear over here in this group of people called our orchestra. And what you watch that girl or that lady, she's more than a girl nowadays. As she plays, do you ever see her do that? When she gets done with, twing, there's a whole pile of stuff over there. But she got it all ready. When she gets done with one, she throws it away. Then we got these people up here. Now, I sang most of the songs today because I know them. There's one I didn't know very well. You know what I did? I did what I always do. I sat and listened to them. That's the way I could worship too. And you need to recognize that in our church. We have songs that are biblical. We have songs that are godly. We have songs that can reach your heart. If you don't quite get the tune or whatever, listen to the words, and God will bring us together. And I trust that's what's happened today. I trust that today, as you and I have been singing together and worshiping together, that we are now waiting, I trust, to hear from God. I want to have a message that comes from up there, through here, out to you. Let's trust that the Lord will do that today. I need to pray and ask the Lord once again to do that. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the passage that you have led me to bring from you today. I pray that you'd help me to do it in a clear and helpful way. And I pray that you would help this sermon to be an encouragement and a help to the saints and an admonition to those that don't know you, and a great invitation to those that need to know you as their Savior. Help us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I started out in this passage, and we talked about Philip. We took our third guy down here, and we pointed out, and everybody in our church, you know that where the context of this is. This is in that upper room. It's just hours, and Jesus will go and die on the cross. Not many days, but hours, it's going to happen by the time they get done with this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. He's going to take them out of that room, which they have communion. We talked about that last time I preached. And as he does, and he takes them all through that, these different disciples who haven't understood, and neither would you, they haven't understood what's going on. They haven't understand that this Savior, who is their Savior, that they kind of caught on to, is going to leave them. And they don't know what else is going to happen either, but we do. And I'm surely thankful because I have some of it right in my heart today. It's called the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not in the sermon yet anyway. Let's see if I can somewhere get it what I'm supposed to be preaching. We found Philip saying, my last time I preached, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus says to him, have I been you so long with you, you ask to see the Father? I am in the Father and the Father in me. In this passage today, he says something that just really kind of blows our minds away as Pastor Adam read the material today from John 14 that picks it up in verse 12 here. Most assuredly, I say to you, he believes in me. The works that I do, he will do. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because he's talking about somebody that's coming. What's going on here? Let's look backwards just a little bit, and we start out with what the Bible says here is the key to everything. He says to Philip, I'm speaking to you on the power and authority of the Father. That power and authority comes, there's a key here to everything when you open up this book. It's right here in my little sermon today. There is a key here for those of us who know the Savior and for those that don't know and wants to know. The key is the word believe. We are believers. We are those that accept. That's why I call it a sanctuary. We are a sanctuary here today of those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that doesn't know them, we invite you to come to know him as your Savior. But the key is the word, I start out today with the word believe. And that's why we start with John 3:16 when we talk to anybody. That's how I got in. That's how most people that know the Lord as their Savior got in. We get that simple little material that starts out in this book, John 3:16. The reason we repeat that simple passage is because it enters into our life as a living thing to me anyway. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's this one. That's this one that's talking to them now. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, here's the key, see, here it is. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How broad that is. You know this, I'm not going to spend time on it at all, but that's where we got in, and we need to always remember that. As we pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 5, I want you to see an astounding promise here. In verse 12, we pick it up there. This is a red print, and it's talking to you, and it's talking to me, as well as those disciples. I get to read it today. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. I'm in there. So are you. What is the promise here? What is this greater works? What is going on here? the greater works than he will do because I go to my Father. He did go to his Father after death, burial, that went to hell, rose again the third day. That's the Jesus that's talking here. Hasn't happened yet. It will happen. If you read the red print, you'll find it. And you'll find that he went and died on the cross just after this. Just a little while after this. He rose again 3 days later. And that's the one that he says he's going to be in 13. And this is, I haven't got that part yet. Don't want to skip here. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these because I go to the Father. I want to talk about that just a little bit. Greater works than these will I do. Are you better than Jesus? Could you do something that God can't do? No. We got to go careful here. The greater works in this passage we see is the promise to those who believe in it. Well, so far I'm in. I'm in there. You're in there too. The promise is greater work. Oh, that's it. What they were looking for, a lot of people look for today, is greater miracles. That's not the promise. The promise is greater works. It's greater works than he did. The one that rose dead was there. Oh, let me see. You don't have to read the Bible very far. You know your Bible. So you didn't have to go very far in your Bible to figure out how this worked, did you? After the book of John is the book of Acts. After the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, it says there. But there's a few Acts that happened before the Acts of the Apostles. In the book of Acts, when Jesus died, buried, resurrected 3 days later, there he walked with, he's the resurrected Lord. He walks with these guys he's talking to in this upper room. He talks to them later on. They're in a room, they're kind of hiding themselves. You know all about that. That process takes place. Then he talks to them. He gives promises to them. He sticks around for 40 days. And then he said goodbye until he comes again. He's going to come again. And when he comes again, it's going to be out of the clouds. And we're going to see him. And we're going to go to be with him. That could happen today. That's not my sermon. Boy, it would be a lovely one to preach. But it's not the sermon today. We got to follow our context. We got to see what they learn and we learn. The works are carried out today that he promised there are still here today. The works that they could do and that we can do is the works of believing what he says, practicing what he tells us, and doing what he wants us to do. In the meantime, he reaches down and saves people that become believers. And we who are believers live for him and look for him until he comes again. The point I want to get across today is this. These works are wonderful, but we better be careful what we think. And these works are by believers, so that's us. But I put down here, and I attempt to follow my notes once in a while. So I put down here, before we sit down and relax, and oh, well, we got it all, it's all coming, let's hang in there. No, there's something to do before you get to heaven. There's quite a bit. Verse 12 says, those who believe and those who have believed personally in Jesus, I got all that. That's condition 1:1. So you're in there, right? You're the believer. Let's look at the second condition. The second condition is verse 13 and 14. This is what happens here. Those who believe in me, the works I do. Now, what is that? How does that go? Look at verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I do not understand that verse totally. I don't understand exactly how to go, but I know there's nothing beyond the Savior that I know and the God that I trust in he can't do. But when I ask anything, I think I ought to kind of catch myself and say, but is this what God wants? Is this what God's will? That's what we're praying about our pastor. And so I pray God's will and God's way and God's strength. I pray all those things. I'm praying in his name, and I'm praying when in faith believing, I need to recognize that God does hear and answer our prayers. That's why we pray. But the key thing is we ask in his name, I'd ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, what do we do that for? Because he's in heaven interceding for us, with us, to the Father. So I'm asking in his name. That's what we generally say. We always know it, that it's the believer and what God has done, Jesus has done, what we are, and now we ask it. Be an up-to-date Christian. Ask things with the understanding and the appreciation of the power when you say in Jesus. Be careful there. When you say in Jesus' name and you expect him to do it, you better be asking what he wants done. Careful, careful. It's a wonderful verse. And that verse, I'll let you preach on that. That verse right there, you can tell me all how to work that out, and then you'll know and you can tell me. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I think there are some conditions there. You can talk to me about that afterwards. I'm just telling you what it says. That's what it says. The bottom line that I think is quite often missed, it isn't in the passage. You know what our problem is, don't you? You have not because you ask not. It isn't because we ask too much. It's because we ask too little. It isn't because we believe too much. It's usually because we believe too little. That's the way I preach it today. And that's the way the Word of God wants to be given to you today. God wants us to recognize and understand. Ask and you receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That process is to a God that knows us. And to a Savior that died and rose again so that we can talk to him like that. That's it. So the second thing, the first condition is you got to be a believer. The second condition is you got to be a prayer that prays to the God you know and trusts in the God you know and receives what God gives you. And we had that all week, haven't we? I prayed for that pastor really strong. I prayed for the preacher's wife too. You know what? I know he answered my prayer. I don't know how that is, and I don't know how it is forward. But I know he hears, and I know he answers. Don't you? Could you know once in a while, I know it's sinful for a Baptist, but could you say amen if I say something actually good? I know you can't do that. Okay. That's all right. I don't expect it in a Baptist church. The Lord's going to make me holiest when I get to heaven anyway. You didn't know that, but that's probably going to happen. Let's see what else I... Oh, this is my main point. The motivation that runs, that drives the right action is right here. How can you be doing what I'm asking you to do when I ask myself to... There's a motivation here. It's in verse 15. It's my main verse. Let's look at 15. It's my main verse here. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, there it is. Oh, that's the kicker here, all right. That's the blessing, I think, too. The motivation for the right action is, if you love me, keep my commandments. We serve him because we have a song that we sing like that. We serve him because we love him. Now, we aren't saved by those works, but we do those works because we are saved. You understand that? I'm sure you do. You've heard it many times from this pulpit. We serve. If you want to do it right, get it right, be right, practice this. I want to do what God wants me to do because I love him. Not because I have to get it done, or it's in the process, or it's in that Nicene Creed or whatever we read today. It's not that. I want to do what God wants me to do because I love him. That's the motivation here. That's what he's putting in to help Philip understand what's going on and help Philip understand how big it is. Those guys got it, those disciples got it pretty quick after he rose from the dead. I guess they did. And that's for the church. Oh, you want to know how it works? 40 years later, he went up back to heaven. He hasn't come back yet. He might be today. But when he went up to heaven, there was, after that 40 days, you remember that? What happened after 40 days? It was 50 days. Then after 50 days, you know what happened after 50 days? Ho-ho! That's what happens when we do it. Pentecost came. And the greater works began to go great. There's not until Billy Graham showed up that when somebody preached, 3,000 people got saved. But that day, that's what they did. Right at the beginning. Right at the beginning, the Holy Spirit that was given then came down in them, and everyone that is a Christian has the Holy Spirit in them today. That's the power. That's where we need to reckon it. The third condition is we are to love Him because of what all He's done. It's the motivator. If you don't have the right motivation, you won't have the right action. Quite often, people serve Him because they got to. They're serving because they think they ought to. If you want to do it right, you serve the Lord because you love Him.
Amen.
You got 127 reasons. I don't have to list them all. Do you love the Lord today? That just fulfill what it says. If you love the Lord, you do what the Lord tells you to do, and you live for the Lord because that's what the Lord in. I put down here, once in a while, pays attention to my notes, once in a while. And this is what my notes say here. The reality is we live for the one who loved us and loves us. And when we get it right, you know what happens? We're blessed. You want to get blessed every day? Love the Lord. Serve the Lord out of love. And that flows. That's a floater. I love Him because He first loved me. That's it. It's a back and forth thing. That's what they got. That's the special thing that He said would happen then, and I believe happens today. So I wrote it down this way. We are blessed, and we can be a blessing as we keep His commandments because we love Him. Oh, we need to lay hold on this today. We sing, but we do not always practice. I'll live for Him who died for me. Just because I'm singing doesn't mean I'm done with the sermon. Hang in there. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior. Oh, isn't that a wonderful song? We need to practice it, not just sing it. Do you live for the Lord? You're on top shelf if you're living for the Lord out of the motivation of loving the Lord. The fourth condition we find in that two passages I want to bring out that today, 16 and 17. Here we go. Oh, yeah, this is how. And I pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, from whom the world can't receive Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know the trouble of our world today? They're counting chads and whatever. They're counting and they're counting. If they don't like it or they do like it, they don't like it. They're all arguing with each other until the cows come home, and neither one of them will ever agree with each other. I have the answer to all that stuff. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, and it doesn't go by today, it neither sees Him nor knows Him. That's their problem. Shouldn't be ours. But you know Him, for He dwells with you. And He told the disciples He dwells with you and will be in you. He doesn't say that to us. He says to us, to those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, on that day when the Holy Spirit came in, He doesn't go out. He came in and He directs and helps us all the way through until we're on the way to heaven. That's the one that's helping us. That's the helper. The helper that was with them came in them after Jesus Christ after He died, buried, rose again the third day. Then those that believe in Him have the Holy Spirit come into them. That's the promise there. That's the truth today. Let me see if I got that. Oh, yeah, and I need to tell you, what does that mean? It means that we have two. It says there that He's the Comforter. We sing that quite often too. I won't obligate you to sing that song. You're glad I'm not singing it. Okay. He will send another Comforter. And this is what He will do. He will abide with you forever. he gives him another descriptive. Besides the abiding one, the one that came in when I got saved, he is called, the one is the Spirit of Truth. So first, they were going to get, and they got just a few days later, the Comforter that came in to live forever, and they got, and we get, when we get saved, someone else. He's called the Comforter. He's all by the way, he's called the Comforter only here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in the book of John from 14 to 16. You read those three or four verses, chapters, and you'll find that he always is called the Holy Spirit of Promise there. It means that to be called alongside to assist. You've heard sermons on that. The pastor, if he would preach this, and he has preached it, will carefully go through each one of these things. It's not my goal or my ability to do that, but I'm just saying to you, this one that has come, the Comforter that's come, that is in you, is going to stay in you forever, and he is called, that Comforter is the assistant on the inside. I'll talk about that in a minute. The Holy Spirit does not work instead of us. The Holy Spirit doesn't work in spite of us, but he works in us and through us. Got another page. Oh yeah, here it is. He helps us to live our life as Christians. We need his work in us to carry out what he wants us to be and he wants us to do in this world, in our present situation. You're not asleep yet? Okay. I'll read it over again, in case you were. We need this Holy Spirit's inner work in our life today to carry out what he wants us to be, what he wants us to do in our present situation, which we have in our world has not gone through this exact situation forever, ever before. Now, I'll tell you a little secret, those of you there in the sanctuary. We got help. We have help. But I belong to the Lord, and so do you. The Holy Spirit's in you. You have help, and he will comfort us in this confusing time. He has to do that over and over again because I'm a sinful fretter, and I have to go back to the Lord and get, that's another sermon, but I'll preach myself. I won't preach that to you today. The other thing I want you to notice here, another word that John uses in 1 John is another thing. It's not the Holy Spirit. I almost got it mixed up. It's not the Holy Spirit. There's another word. It's called the Advocate. But when I looked it up in 1 John 2:1-2, it says we have an Advocate with the Father. You know the rest of it? Jesus Christ the righteous. What does that all mean? I just got a little glimpse of it. I just grab a hold of it. I have the Holy Spirit in me who gives me comfort. He gives me the strength to do what I'm supposed to do. And when I'm all mixed up and don't know what to do, I say, Jesus, help me. And fact is, I close, if I say it right, in Jesus' name, amen. And I mean it. What I ask for, I want to be careful what I'm asking for, because he's looking down. I am a believer. I've already asked for and received salvation. Now, on your way through, folks, when you get out of this sanctuary, you need to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit who's within you, who will comfort you. And if you're not doing it right, by the way, he'll just convict you, too. He has another good, I'm not preaching that today, but he convicts you of what you're doing wrong, and he comforts you when you do right. That's there. But then we have this wonderful promise here. We have an Advocate with the Father, same Father. Oh, yeah, there it is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You knew that. They all work together for us. I don't understand all that, but that's what's true. That's what it says. That's what's in there. So let me see if I got anything right here. Oh, I got it right, I know, because I just followed the war. I followed the Bible today, so it's got to be right. Let me see. I did. Oh, man. Okay. The other important promise here, that those disciples, I'm back in John there. The other important promise here was that Did you catch that when we went by there? He's the Spirit of truth. He not only is God, the Holy Spirit, he is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to comfort us and to give us and to help us understand and help us to practice the truth. Do you know the truth? Yes, you do. You know the truth? The truth will set you free. I got in there. That's how I'm there now. And I belong to that Lord. And I have the Holy Spirit in me. And the Holy Spirit comforts me every day. I belong. Does he do that to you? You belong. Ah, but the Holy Spirit also comes to me, and the person of Jesus Christ comes to me. And the reason that the Holy Spirit is called, he's called there in this passage, the Spirit of Truth. Oh, how do I know what the Spirit of Truth is saying? You know what I do? I did it this morning. I open up the book and say, what you got to say today, God? The Spirit of Truth in the Word of Truth. The God of Truth gives the Spirit of Truth, the Word of Truth, and I get it, and I receive it, and I'm on my way, hallelujah, and every day I get help. Do you know this? Do you appreciate the help of the Comforter, who is also called the one that brings the truth to us? Now I apply. Oh, I'm right on target. Stay awake with me for 5 minutes. Do you recall the statement purpose of our church? Which I remember, Kathy, your husband and the deacons, working a long time to get this exact statement. Because the church, when Pastor came, there was a big deal. Everybody had to have a purpose statement. You couldn't. I was a preacher for 30 years before I had to have a purpose statement. Didn't know we had to have one. Well, we don't, but we do sometimes. We got one. And when we got it, we got the best one. Obsessed with the truth. Do you see what I'm not very far off of the sermon, am I? That's what I'm talking to you about. It's the truth that comes through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, from the Father, and that's the Spirit. So we are obsessed with this truth. Do you see how this message fits that? We found it in John 14. We have heard it often, and we heard it from this pulpit. Oops, that's not the pulpit. Here's the pulpit. By the way, this pulpit got here before this church got here, a long time. That's why we keep it. This is what I've been hearing from this pulpit since, well, I preached it for 30 years, I guess, here. And then when you had two or three other preachers preaching, we don't ever get off the track. All the preachers that I heard preach from this pulpit, we preach the same thing. We preach John 14:6. That's what we preach. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what we preach. That's what we believe. You know why? Have you got it? Because we know the truth. The truth is that God is up in heaven. The truth is God has provided a way for you to get there. The truth is you have to go, there's only one way. I am, Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life. That Holy Spirit works on people when they haven't got there yet. That's how what we call, that's the Holy Spirit works on conviction, on people that are not saved. If I didn't believe it, I'd quit. Because it's very discouraging preaching. And very discouraging preaching to people that you know aren't saved, and they just sit there and look at you. And then when you preach, I know that most of you here are, I would believe, if I look in all your faces, I know most of you are saved. So why do we keep going over that? To say thank you, Lord. That's why. But also to remind ourselves that he is the only way, truth, and life. And that the Holy Spirit will do what he says. But he does it through believers. That's what he does it through. I have something here I was supposed to say, and I know it's here someplace. Ah, here it is. Here it is. This is what... that ain't it. Oops, not supposed to say ain't either. I know I have something I just needed to say, and it needs to be said, and I can't find it. All right, hallelujah. If I can't find it at all, it must not be... today I'm supposed to say it. It was a real hunky-dory statement. It came from a real high-class person And I was going to quote it because I wanted to be a high-class preacher. Okay, but I guess I'm not going to make it because I can't find the sentence. Here it is. It comes back to this fourth condition. Well, I was supposed to say it when I started it. And this, you end up on high note. J.I. Packer said, the average Christian is in a complete fog as to what the work of the Holy Spirit does. And I was supposed to say that, and I was supposed to say, I hope to clear up that fog today. Did I do any clearing? Maybe it's foggier when I got done. I hope not. I know that we said what the truth said, we said what the Bible said, and I hope that you appreciate who God is, what He's done, what He is doing in you, and what He will do to in and for anybody and everybody that you talk to who will believe. Are you a believer? Sure you are. Then you ought to be a great person to say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for the Son of God, for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for these things. Well, now, I have a song someplace here. And I got it in the last page, I think. We're going to sing a song. We have to sing a song when I get done. 495. 495. We're going to sing. I thank the church for letting me preach, and I thank you for the opportunity. And I trust that the Lord will use this message on this day to encourage you in our days that seem so discouraging, at least to me. 495. We need to stand, we'll sing.